This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Aaron Truman, this is a special show today, and sitting right across from me is a person you've just been listening to, and that was Help Me Frank Sinatra, is that
no.
right?
No. That was Honeysuckle Rose.
Oh, Honeysuckle Rose, okay.
That comes later, I think.
I think so, yeah. Okay, stuff that one up already. Tell us a little bit about that music, Pippa.
Oh, look, that's the latest album, which is recorded about 2 years ago, or released about 2 years ago, and every time, I don't listen to it very often, and when I do hear it, I think, God, that backing's great.
Yeah.
Because I don't often use guitar in my bands, mainly because the budgets don't allow, you know, they only allow for so many musicians on stage with me, and it's lovely to hear that beautiful jazz guitar. There was Vince Hopkins playing guitar there, and Ron Trigg on clarinet. It's a kind of a laid back album, as opposed to the other ones, which are a bit
more. It's very smooth.
Yeah.
It's very sort of Saturday afternoon. Well, it is Saturday afternoon, but it's perfect music for this type of day.
Now, let's start and talk a little bit about you.
Okay.
Tell us, originally, where do you come from?
Sri Lanka.
Sri Lanka.
Yeah. A lot of people try to pick it, and they look at me and they think, oh, where are you from? Are you Italian? Are you Mauritius? Are you Greek? Nah.
So how was life like in Sri Lanka before you moved to Australia?
Life was fabulous. Life was very easy, especially for a kid, you know.
Mm.
Kids have it easy everywhere. But even for my parents, it was just, it's an idyllic kind of lifestyle there. And I think it still is. I went back after 41 years in 2004.
Mm.
And nothing much had changed. There was a lot more high walls, you know, in front gardens. Nobody ever had front garden walls, you know, when I was there. But with all the trouble all 10-foot high brick walls had gone up in front of all the houses. That was the biggest change that I noticed when I went back.
Mm. When you were a child, did you listen to music in Sri Lanka? What kind of music were you listening to at that young age? Or your parents?
Only what my parents had. You know, it's not like here where you have to put up with your kids' music.
Other way around.
We had to put up with our parents' music. And it was, you know, it was the 50s. And mum played piano and she liked all the, you know, all what I'm singing now. I grew up loving it because I guess that's what I was brought up on. She played by ear. She'd listen to a piece of music and then she'd sit down at the piano and play it.
Wow.
She had a great year for music. And so we didn't have a record player or anything. Mum had a gramophone, which she used
to wind-up thing?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
And just keep winding it.
Yeah, yeah. And she used to put that on top of the piano and play the record and then play to it, you know.
Oh.
And so we just had a radio and the gramophone, that's all. And even when we came out to Australia, my brother bought a stereo system, which was, you know, had a record player and a radio, and he had all the records, so I had to listen to his music, which is also, you know, a lot of jazz. So I never got to pick anything. I was just the kid's sister, you know.
Mm. Did you fall in love with jazz because of that?
Probably. It was just a thing that I'd grown up with, and I loved it. It was in my soul, I guess.
Mm. Because you didn't actually start as a jazz singer, did you?
No, I sang songs of the time in the 70s, 71, when I started my professional career as a singer. And because somebody heard me. I was living at the Federal Hotel, which has now since been pulled down, of course.
Okay.
And the band, who was also living in the hotel, they were a New Zealand group, they heard me and said, "You sing." And I said, "Well, not really. I mean, I just muck around." And they said, "Oh, do you want to come and, you know, do a number with us?" Well, I thought, oh, that sounds what a buzz, you know, to be on stage singing with a real band, because I only ever sang with my guitar and folk song, you know, folk clubs and things like that. And I thought that'd be a real buzz. And I knew some of the songs they did because I'd been listening to them, you know, every night. And they said, oh, come up and do one of our finishing numbers, you know. I said, okay. I did. And John Haddad was in the audience that night. And he was the general manager at the time. And he said, what are you doing working in the dining room when you should be singing, you know? And I just said, you know, great, John, you know, you're going to give me a job. Who's going to give me a job? I've got no experience. And he said, well, I've just bought a pub in Mentone and I want some cheap entertainment. You get a show together.
I don't know if that's a compliment. Cheap entertainment.
So you get a show together and I'll put you on. And at the time I was earning $37.50 a week, you know, working six nights a week. And I thought, cheap entertainment, oh, you know, maybe I'll get $20 or something, you know. So I said, okay, you're on, I'll get a show together. What are you going to pay me? And he said, $40. I said, definitely, I'll get a show together.
I'm there.
So, yeah, I got, you know, for a 45-minute show, I got more than I was earning in a week.
Oh.
It sounded like a good deal to me.
One thing that intrigues me is you come from a Sri Lankan family.
Mm-hmm.
Were your parents, I suppose, typical Sri Lankan, you know, keep the daughter at home? And
oh, yeah. So I wasn't allowed out till I was over 21.
So how did
probably
you actually...
Probably just as well, actually.
I'd have thought for a Sri Lankan family, working in a pub as a waitress, was that a bit radical for you?
Very, very radical. Because I left high... I had a boyfriend who was going to school with my cousin.
Mm.
And that's how I met him. And I fell in love with him. He was a very effeminate guy, and I reckon that's why I fell in love with him. Yeah, it was a real gentle soul, you know.
Yeah.
And beautiful looking.
Was he Sri Lankan or...?
He was Australian.
Australian,
yeah.
Okay.
And my father couldn't stand him for whatever reason. He was a
bit was
bohemian.
Australian?
No, I think it was just his long hair and his... You know,
effeminate ways or something.
Probably, I don't know. But he wasn't this. You know, Dad would have liked me to have gone out with a banker.
Boy.
Well, I don't think it needed to be Sri Lanka, but it needed to be, you know, a doctor or a lawyer or a banker or somebody with, you know, prospects.
Mm.
Dad was a doctor, and he sort of wanted something like that for me, which is, I suppose, you know,
it's something that every father and mother wants.
Absolutely. You know.
But they don't always get it, obviously. But.
And you had other ideas.
Well, you know, I didn't care what he did. he was lovely to me, and we got on really well. And we got on well for about 13 years.
Okay. Well, this is On Driven on Joy 94.9. We'll come back to Pippa's story very soon.
You're on Owen Driven with Hugh and Leo and our special guest, Pippa Wilson. Pippa, that track was divine. What was that one?
That was actually written by a girlfriend of mine, Suzanne Pover. And she wrote that actually when she was about 17. And in 99, I think it was, I got a hold of it. I actually happened to hear it by accident. And I said, you know, that's a good song. I'm going to record that, and we sort of changed it a little bit to suit my
Your
to suit me
singing,
my
yeah.
yeah and yeah and put it on the next album that I did.
It's a great song. I really enjoyed it. I enjoy your music, so that's okay.
You're biased.
That's
no,
it.
It's a good song.
Yeah,
and it there's a lot more you can do with it. It would lend itself to a lot of different feels, that song.
Hmm. Let's go back to your story.
Mm-hmm.
You were talking about working as a waitress, then you started singing.
Yeah.
And the boss man heard you singing one day.
Yeah.
And you had a boyfriend that your father didn't approve of.
And he sort of said to me, Bill was about to walk into our house, and he said, what's he doing? Because we had a little break where he went overseas and Dad thought it was all over, you know.
Mm.
And then when he came back, of course, we got back together. And he said, what's he doing here? he's not coming in this house. And I said, what do you mean? And he said, as long as you live under my roof, you'll do as I say. And he's not coming in here. And I thought, oh, God. So I went in my room, packed my bags and left.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I was a bit of a black sheep of the family, you know. My brothers wouldn't dream of doing anything like that.
No.
They were good boys, you know. Mm. As my mum would say, I gave her more trouble than all three boys put together. So.
Were they a bit envious of you, of your sort of strong will nature, and wish they could be like you a bit in that sense?
No, I was just a pain to them, I think. I don't know.
Pippa caused all the trouble.
I did. I was a troublemaker.
So what happened? Did you...
Well, I went to the Federal Hotel because I knew the entertainments manager there. I'd met through, actually, strangely enough, through one of Dad's functions, his Masonic functions. I met this guy who was the entertainments manager for Federal Hotels. And I went to him and I said, I need somewhere to stay and I need a job.
And what did he say?
And he said, oh, well, let's go in and see what we can do. And he found out that there was the Beer and Bite was opening. It was their main dining room at the time. And
how old were you when this was happening?
Oh, would have been 21.
Oh, so it's very young to leave home.
Absolutely.
Sri Lankan home. You just walked out.
I just walked out, yeah. And there was nothing they could do to stop me, you know.
Mm.
And my father's a terribly Victorian father, you know, you do as I say and all that.
Mm.
But it was probably the best thing I did because, it sent me on a whole,
different
journey. Yeah, very different journey.
And is that when your singing career took off from there?
Well, I guess hindsight, yeah, it did because I didn't know that at the time. But because I was... Well, they said I was managing the Beer and Bite, which is their main dining room, and I wasn't managing anything, really. I was just, I was there seating people, and I was like the door bitch, you know, and just making sure that everybody had a drink and was, happy, and the band was going on time and all that sort of stuff.
Mm.
And then, the band, I became quite friendly with them, and they heard me singing in my room. That's how it all happened. So
the rest is history.
The rest is history, as they say.
But you didn't actually sing jazz then, did you?
No, I was singing pop songs of the time,
What people wanted to hear.
What people wanted to hear, and sort of River Deep, Mountain High and Proud Mary and all those things.
Were you okay singing those songs? Was that something that you wanted to do at the time or was more forced into doing it?
I was being paid $40 a week.
You're
going to
do it. You're going to do it, love.
I was going to do it regardless. I didn't care what they wanted me to sing. I'd sing it,
So, I mean, Tina Turner at that time was a massive star. Was she someone that you sort of looked up to?
I did her version of Proud Mary.
Yeah.
That was my opening number.
What an amazing woman she is.
Oh, awesome, awesome.
Awesome voice, awesome career.
Yeah.
So how long was it before you started singing jazz?
Well, I started singing jazz I was doing floor shows at that time, right? Mm. I did floor shows for 6 or 7 years. And then I had my kids. So from when I had my kids, after the second one was born, I decided to go back to work.
Mm.
And I thought, I'll go and do a bit more singing. And I rang all the agents and they said, great, got plenty of work for you, blah, blah, blah. But it was all the same circuits that I'd done before, which was mostly interstate and a few in Melbourne. I said, I can't take anything interstate. It's got to be in Melbourne. And so the work kind of wasn't as regular.
Yeah,
I was working six, 7 nights a week and sometimes, two shows a night.
Mm.
And so it was too hard to go back to that type of work.
Yeah.
And then... But I did, a few shows here and there, maybe on Friday, Saturday nights when they were still having floor shows. And then my husband and I split up.
Now, just let's take one step back.
Okay.
Because we haven't actually mentioned that you got married. Did you get married to the chap that your dad didn't like?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he actually gave me away too. Walked down the aisle
did
with
he?
Me and all,
oh,
yeah.
Right. So
he came around. He knew that there was nothing he could do about it, so he might as well give in.
Right.
Yeah.
So you ended up getting married. And,
yep.
And I suppose your dad should have been happy then.
Yeah. It well, is. You know, he wasn't happy, but he was resigned to it.
Right. Okay.
You know, he was resigned to it. Because Bill actually then got a job and everything and kind of he worked at the ABC, and that in itself was probably almost okay, you know.
Mm.
So.
And you, how long were you married?
How long was I married? I don't know. I lived with him for a while and then I got married. I know we were together for 13 years.
Okay.
And we were sort of probably maybe 6 or 7 of those were we were married.
So you had a couple of kids.
Yeah.
When did you sort of realise or had inklings that something was not quite right?
Oh, I didn't know at all.
Yeah.
Really? I didn't realise, no.
Okay.
My husband told me.
Really? And what made him think?
I'm going to actually stop you there because
okay,
we're going to go for a break, but we'll come back to this answer very soon. Joy 94.9, this is On Driven with Leo and Hugh, and our guest today is the wonderful Miss Pippa Wilson, who you've just been listening to. But Pippa, tell us what that song was.
That was written by a friend of mine of probably 30 years now, and he wrote that song. His name is Rod Hulls.
Mm.
And I thought it was a very clever song, you know, the way he's woven all the greats into that with all their famous, you know, what they were famous for.
Does he write many songs for you?
Oh, he's written a lot of songs, and they're really good. They're really good songs, and I'll probably be recording another one of them at some stage. There's a couple there I've got my eye on. But, he and his wife Jenny, work around town, and they've actually been joined by Athol Guy and Buddy England. For those older folk, might remember.
I think if you are enjoying the songs this afternoon from Pippa Wilson, if you head to our Facebook and Twitter pages, I've posted the link. We can download, we can purchase Pippa's music from her website, pippawilson.com, as we can purchase all her albums and music. So, yeah, beautiful
stuff. Just Google Pippa Wilson and
exactly
it comes
right.
up. It's very
right.
easy.
Yeah.
That's what I did. Now, Pippa, before the music break, we were talking about the fact that your husband knew you were gay, but you didn't.
Yeah, well.
Explain that.
We'd be driving along the road and, you know, my head would turn before his did, you know, and we'd be ogling the same women. And he eventually said to me, he said, you know, I think you're gay. And I said, what do you mean? I didn't even really know what it all was about, you know. And he said, I think you should find out. I think he had ulterior motives, but, you know, that's beside the point. The fact is that, you know, he sort of realised that I might have been that way inclined long before I did.
Oh, okay.
Because
now, you mentioned that you had two children.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you've got a boy and a girl, haven't you?
A girl and a boy, yeah.
Yeah.
Sarah and Tim.
How did they take it when...
When we split up?
When you split up.
Well, we finally split up for, reasons just that we didn't get on. He's still my best friend and we still get on well, but we just couldn't live together anymore. And I met a lady and she moved in with me. The kids were, we never talked about it. We never hid it. From the word go, it never bothered me because, I suppose basically because my mother, when she had a friend who was a gentleman who was a designer, and I said to her one day, we were going to his place, and I said to her, I wonder if Gerald ever get married. And she said, oh no, of course not, he's a homosexual. And it was so casual and so offhand, and no, and he was mum's friend, and so it was all cool, you know. So then that was the first time I sort of actually came across the word, and I mean, I knew what it meant, but being,
you'd never thought about
it, you know. And I thought, oh, okay, so he won't get married, that's fine. So all was cool with the world, you know, and homosexuality. So I never had any bigotry about it one way or another, which was really a good start.
Yes, yes.
So I never felt that I needed to hide it from anyone either.
Did you sit your children down and...
No. Never.
Never.
It was just part of our life. It was just life. If I had a boyfriend, would I sit them down and say, now, look, you know, I'm going to go out with this guy and blah, blah. Mm. No, you don't. It's just my life and they just, go that's mum's friend and you know, she stays the night and that's cool. And it was never, ever an issue. But in school, my son was very much like my husband in looks, tall, gorgeous looking, and always surrounded by about 10 girls. And he was a gentle soul as well.
Mm.
He wasn't gay, although I thought he was gay, but he wasn't. He's happily married now to the most beautiful, gorgeous girl I could ever hope for him.
Good.
But in school, the guys used to tease him because he never wanted to play football. He wasn't that kind of a guy. Mm. He wants to climb mountains and play squash and go hiking and, you know, canoeing and things like that. He didn't drink. He didn't smoke.
So he didn't fit into the mold,
you know, of the guys at school. And they used to tease him. Eventually, somebody said, "Hey, Wilson, I heard your mum's a lesbian." And he went, "So?" Oh. End of story.
Hmm.
Now, if everybody could be like that, there wouldn't be all this rubbish about, you know. Yeah.
Didn't bother him at all.
Didn't bother him one bit. He said, "So, like, what's your problem?" You know.
And did this was back in the 80s.
Oh yeah,
yeah,
yeah. So 80 would have been. Yeah, it would have been in the 80s, mid 80s. And he just sort of said, "So."
What about your daughter? Was there any backlash on your daughter?
No, she was pretty much the same.
Yeah.
She never. It was never an issue in our house, so they never grew up with having it being an issue.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
It was never an issue.
I mean, that's good. I mean, and it's good that your son had that attitude at school as well.
You know? Yeah, because you can make things an issue and try to hide it. And the moment you try to hide something like this, all you're saying is there's something wrong with it, you know?
Mm.
Whereas if you're out and proud, then there isn't an issue. And I had a friend at the ABC who worked with Bill, who is now transsexual, and he was superb. Within 2 weeks of my actually deciding that yes, I wanted a different lifestyle, I spoke to him, and he said, "Pippa, as long as you don't accept it, nobody else will.
That's
the moment you accept who you are and what you are, it will not be a problem. So don't worry about it. Live your life the way you want to live it, and other people will accept you for who you are." Because you'll be confident about who you are. And that's probably the best advice I ever got. I never hid it from anybody. Even the people who thought,
How did your friends cope? Like, you met your friends with your husband. How did they cope with the news that suddenly that you were married?
Look, I was always a black sheep, you know, and I was always going to do something dumb like this. So I guess they weren't surprised.
What about your singing career, though? I mean,
the singing
career, did it worry you that it might affect it?
See, this is the thing. Because I was true to myself, I just have always done whatever I wanted to do. Like, you won't allow my boyfriend in the house, I'll leave home. Don't worry about it.
Mm.
You know, I do what I want to do. And I've lived my life like that. So when I was working at a straight pub, you know, Sunday afternoons, every Sunday afternoon, people came, the place was just absolutely jam-packed. And I did that for 4.5 years. They sold the pub, and then I went to Original Sins in, I don't know, in, not I don't Carlton, know. Elgin Street, yeah.
Okay.
It burnt down now. And that was a gay, run by two gay guys, and it was very much a gay pub. Bunny Brook opened it, and it was definitely, you know, great gay restaurant, and I worked there Sunday afternoons, and it was packed with gay people. So all the straights who came there for the first Sunday that I was there didn't come back. Half of them didn't come back.
Okay.
And I figured, yeah, you don't want to come. I've still got an audience, you know.
Mm.
Does it matter?
And the gay audience is so loyal, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Right, well, we'll come back to Pippa's stories very soon. This is On Driven on Joy 94.9 with Leo and Hugh.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station Joy 94.9.
The fabulous Pippa Wilson there on Joy 94.9. Oh, On Driven this afternoon with Hugh and Leo. Pippa, that was a lovely track again.
Oh, yeah, I love that flute playing by Ron Trigg and,
yeah,
and that great guitar solo from Vince. Just fantastic.
All the tracks this afternoon are from Pippa Wilson, and you can check out her website, pippawilson.com, for all the information. You can even buy her music directly from the website as well, which is great.
Now, Pippa, obviously you work around Melbourne and you do some cabarets, because I've seen you live a lot of times. I mean, where can people see you?
Well, I don't do any regular gigs anymore because I'm getting too old now.
Go away.
No, you're not.
And, you know, I feel I've earned my my relaxation time now, you know. I don't have to work 5-6 nights a week. Mortgage is paid, so
yeah.
You know. and I do a lot of guest vocal spots with other bands, other jazz bands, and I do a few, you know, the corporate gigs and the private functions and that, you know, birthdays and anniversaries and things like that. I do with my own band. But the only regular thing I have is semi-regular, once a month down at Safety Beach.
Right.
And that's a fun afternoon, you know. We just get down there and have a bit of a jam, and it's a lot of fun.
Are you bringing out another album, or?
If Caroline has a way, it'll be out next March, but I've got to really get off my bum and do something about it.
Have you ever thought of
I've got the list. I've got the list. We've started and we've got the list. Got to get the arrangements done now.
Have you thought of ever maybe doing some songs, some modern songs, and doing your interpretation of those songs?
I suppose I have thought about it.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't really. I can't listen to modern songs because they're so dreadful. I can't stand listening to the thump thump that goes behind them. That's just me. I'm you know.
It's not your style.
It's not my style. It's very hard to sort of separate it.
But listening to your music, songs from Adele and Seal and those types of artists would work well with your voice.
Well,
in my opinion,
look, I'm happy to give anything a go. I've listened to a lot of stuff. My next album is going to be a more blues-oriented album, which I haven't really done
Ventured
yet.
Yeah.
How do you pick the songs? Is that a long process?
Oh, it's an agonizing process. Yeah, you've first of all, you've got to decide on the sort of the theme of what you're going to do, and then find songs that fit into that
genre.
Yeah, into that feel. And then you've got to make sure that's sort of the same, but not, because otherwise it gets very boring if you know, especially with blues. I mean, the same chords all the way through. If it's 12-bar blues, it's just you know, so repetitious. That's one of the things I can't handle.
So do you and Caroline sit down and sort of she says, "Oh, this is a good song," and then you
she often finds songs and says, "You should do that. You know, you should do that. You should do that." And sure. We look at that, but then I talk to my musical director and the rest of the band. We all just sort of we discuss it and see, yes, it'll work. No, it won't work. Sometimes the backers, whoever's backing the CD, has a say in what goes on it.
Yeah,
and my hands are a bit tied there.
Oh, okay, yeah,
okay. They like a song, then you have to go with it because they're paying the bill.
Right. Because talk of the blues, recently Cyndi Lauper did a blues album as well called Memphis Blue, which you should definitely maybe have a listen to.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. She's
a good
singer, amazing vocalist and very diverse as well. Now, we're talking before the show, and I mentioned to you that you need to get your checks on iTunes. So we're going to work out how we can do that. If there's... I've got contacts in that field, so I can help you out there. But that's the way to go, I guess, in the future. I guess you reach
I'll have to look into
audience.
That, Leo. I'm definitely going to have to go that way. CDs, I think, are going out, and
The digital world is taking over.
And, with digital stuff, you can reach a wider audience overseas, and you can have your tracks released worldwide, which is, you know, you can get sales from all over the world, which is fantastic. You know,
I am getting a lot of sales from overseas, a lot from America and, England and Europe and that. Yeah, there's been, you know, more than I expected.
Have you thought about maybe following that up with a tour or performances?
I'd love to. Well, I've just come back from New Orleans.
Okay.
That was fabulous. That was fabulous.
So you were working there?
Well, I sang there. Mm. I wasn't working because I don't have a green card.
Okay, right, yeah, of course not.
But I did sing a lot there, and it was fabulous. Those, you know, I mean, those guys are just amazing. Mm. And I, you know, Belinda Moody, a Melbourne bass player that used to work with me a lot, she's living in New Orleans now. And I said to her, I said, Belinda, you know, these guys never use music. They don't have any charts at all.
Mm.
And she said, no, if you haven't got a repertoire of about 5,000 songs of all the standards in all genres, and you can't play them, you don't get work.
Wow.
And you've got to be able to play them in any key.
Really?
The pressure's on, hey?
The pressure is on there. Absolutely. I mean, didn't matter what song I called and what key I called, they could do it, and they did it so well.
So do you think this trip has anything to do with your new album? Has it got made you sort of...
Influences?
It might, yeah. It probably will. New Orleans has got a lot of rhythm and blues.
Mm.
You know, there's the pockets of real jazz and you know, fantastic musos. And I got to work with quite a few really brilliant ones. And, it was quite funny, actually. I mean, you know, I've got a deep voice. And we were on a cruise, and one of the musicians came down. They were going around the tables and asking for requests and that. Mm. And it was dinner, cruise. And the people sitting at the table next to us said, we'd love to hear What a Wonderful World, and we want her to sing it. We just looked at them and said, pardon? You are Pippa Wilson, aren't you? And I thought, you've got to be kidding. They were from Wagga Wagga.
Oh, my God.
And I'd done the jazz festival there on stage.
See, What a Wonderful World is one of my favorite songs.
Yeah?
Yeah, I like that one.
And the guy said, yeah, we can do it. You know, you want to sing it? I said, yeah, sure. So I sang it, and he said, what key? And I said, F. He looked at me up and down, very askance, and said, that's a male key. I said, I know. And Caroline said, the look on his face when I started singing was classic.
Okay, this is On Driven on Joy 94.9. We'll be back very soon.
And only on Joy 94.9.
You're on Joy 94.9, On Driven with Hugh and Leo. This afternoon, our guest has been Pippa Wilson, a jazz singer. Thank you so much for joining us, Pippa.
Yeah, unfortunately.
It's been a pleasure being here. I feel like I've had verbal diarrhea.
Well, unfortunately, we've decided to end the show with another track of Pippa's, and it's called Sway. Tell us about that.
Sway? Oh, that's a lovely... I mean, it's a very old song, been brought back recently by
Michael Bublé.
Yeah.
Okay.
And this is probably very reminiscent of his... Okay. Arrangement.
Okay, we're going to play that very soon. Orange Ribbon will be back again at the same time, 4 o'clock next Saturday afternoon, with more insights into our GLBTIQ community here in Australia and, of course, around the world. From Pippa Wilson, bye-bye.
Bye-bye, Hugh. Thanks for having me on here.
It's a pleasure. Always a pleasure to see you, Pippa.
Thank you.
And from Leo and myself, bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.